The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Hey guys, sports betting season is in full force. NHL and NBA playoffs, we enjoyed those, and now football season is here. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BET. US, you can receive a 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses also. BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. No matter what the season, BetUS has all the games, NBA, NHL, team, player props, loads of NFL and college plays, whether futures or individual game odds. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf, and round matchups and live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the Sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and partner with a sports betting company with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Great news for Dan Mullen and Gator Nation. Not all quarterback uncertainty is created equally. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. How are y'all? Very emotional weekend. A lot of 9/11, 20th anniversary, et cetera. If anniversary is even the, I don't know, commemorate is even a better word, because anniversary is such a happy thing. Marking the 20th year since 9/11. So there's a lot of that over the weekend. But there's also a whole lot of play on the field, and that's what we talk about. We talk college football on this program. And when I say great news for Dan Mullen, Gator Nation, certainly. Yeah, all quarterback uncertainty is not created equally. And there is uncertainty in Gainesville right now. Now, there also appears to be two potential right answers. Because you know what? Not me, you, not even Dan Mullen knows. Because I'm going to say, you know, look, I don't know about Emory Jones yet. There's a Florida fan listening right now. Where is he or she listening? You know what? They're down in Valdosta actually listening. And they don't get along well with everybody in Valdosta, because that's obviously a lot of Georgia Bulldog and then, of course, Florida State. I mean, it's right there. But there is a Gator listening in Valdosta right now and thinking, oh, I do know about Emory Jones. I've watched every snap that kid's play. No. You don't understand. Dan Mullen doesn't know about Emory Jones yet. Dan Mullen doesn't know. That's why Anthony Richardson has been playing. Now, do you know what Dan Mullen hopes? Dan Mullen hopes he knows about Anthony Richardson. Because Anthony Richardson on Saturday, he threw three passes for 152 yards, I believe. He ran the ball four times for, I believe, 115 yards. He also has the hamstring that will receive the most attention, I believe. And I was trying to think, anywhere in college football over the next 5 days, Dan, any update about Anthony Richardson and the hammy?
Just that it will be evaluated all week. It tightened up on him, according to Mullen, after the game on Saturday.
It looked like it rolled up like a window shade. He was stepping. It was into the end zone as well when it happened, and he grabbed that thing. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, he's carrying a ball left hand. Right hand goes the back of his football pants. And I was like, oh, goodness, I know what that was. Yeah, can I translate? It was second week of September in Tampa. It was kid didn't have enough Gatorade, maybe some G2. Not during halftime or before the game on like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the hay is already in the barn. All right, by the time in Tampa, the beginning of September, when you walk out of the tunnel, well, that was a night game, wasn't it? Stop. You know the only difference in a lot of ways between heat, humidity, whatever, down in Florida between the day and the night? It's not the temperature. It's that at night the bugs will devour you. That is the only difference. Ooh, cools off at night. You think it's cool. It's just the breeze from all the wings that are flapping around you. So hammy, I guess, is what I was thinking. So, and Dan says, yes, that they will monitor it this week. I'm certain they will. AR-15? Wow. Now, I'm going to assume health for the rest. And by the way, if you're a Gator fan right now and you're like, yes, let's assume health. No. I'm just saying for the rest of this conversation, which will last like 2 minutes. For the next 2 minutes, conversationally, I'm going to assume health. This, if there was going to be uncertainty, if we had to accept that for Dan Mullen, well, this is what you would take versus looking around going, yeah, I don't know what to do when we roll into Athens Saturdays because we're 2-0 with the old man at quarterback. But what about Luke Doty and his athleticism? Like Shane Beamer, he's 2-0 right now and he'll take it. He's got quarterback uncertainty, and it's not like he's sifting through all the right answers. Josh Heupel, I think he's got some quarterback uncertainty. Joe Milton was hurt, and then Hendon Hooker did some really good Hendon Hooker sort of things, and then a weird play call on a fourth down play. And I'm like, well, you already needed a yard. Why did you make it so you needed like 4 yards? Why did you run that play? Josh Heupel knows way more than I do. Like, he's just the Gulf of Mexico. I'm a thimble when it comes to football knowledge. I will admit that. I would have been more concerned with the 1 yard and not said, well, let's create 4, whatever. So not all quarterback uncertainty is created equally. TJ Finley is trying to create some quarterback uncertainty at Auburn. That would kind of be good because he would play himself into that. Quarterback uncertainty in Gainesville right now is it looks like there are possibly 2 answers. What do you mean possibly? You just talked about everything Anthony Richardson did. The great news for Dan Mullen and Gator Nation is the potential we have seen from what Anthony Richardson may be today, right now, or evolving into, and then what Emory Jones is more of a slow bleed. Okay, it appears that he will round himself into this. Talented kid, has stuck it out, did not cut and run, great team. I mean, so much stuff about Emory Jones, and I just check, love everything about that kid. And he needs to play better. Here is either the tough situation or the tough reality. Even if Emory had the offense humming right now, And he has not. The offense has scored a lot, and there's been a lot of yards, and there's been a lot of points. There's been some turnovers as well. But even if Emory had operated, I mean, just maxed out, done everything he could have the first 2 weeks, even if Anthony Richardson had kind of looked like Anthony Richardson minus the hammy, and it was just the good stuff, the plays that resulted in touchdowns. Did he result in 4 touchdowns on Saturday, I think? That might have been the case. If it was just the good stuff from the first 2 weeks, do you know why I still am going to say it's potential? Because nothing that has happened either of these first 2 games against FAU or South Florida
has any relevance to what will occur Saturday when Alabama comes to the Swamp. I mean, it couldn't. You should tell me about the Florida tennis team result against USF before you want to equate that. Now, here's what it is. Because USF is very not good. Very not good. FAU is just outclassed. He threw for two and then ran for third. Yeah, that's right. So he had three touchdowns for AR-15, which I want to see what the game week shirt is. Funny thing, and I want to go back. In the Chick-fil-A Bowl, every year they have like a media gift. And you know what? It's the old joke, media's favorite beer, free and free light. And so there's a media gift, and it's like an insulated tumbler or something every year, binoculars 1 year. But they always give you the Chick-fil-A calendar. And so on the Chick-fil-A calendar 1 year, it was great moments, great Cal moments in sports. Do we remember Carrie Strug? Was it Strug or Strug? Strug? From the 96 games, and she taped up the ankle and all that and then stuck the landing and, you know, gold medal. They had a cow on the balance beam with tape on the one ankle. And I was like, that was just a little subtle throw in, and it was a nod. And I was like, outstanding. If AR-15, if this week's game shirt does not have some sort of wrap on that hamstring, it's not going to be quite as authentic as it could be. I may get one of them. I don't know. But nothing. It's good in that, all right, now it's against 11 guys who don't know our signals and haven't practiced against us and aren't familiar with our pace and whatever. That's good. Competition-wise, I'm saying that there's no way to – so that's from the Florida standpoint, but there's no way. And I'm not saying to equate. There's no way to bring into the conversation what the FAU defense and the South Florida defense, there's no way to bring any sort of relevance to what Emory and AR-15 are going to face this Saturday in the Swamp. This is going to be a CBS game, right? What did I see? I think I saw Gary and Brad doing Air Force Navy, maybe? What are they doing with the uniforms? Those are two classic uniforms that you can't screw up, and it looks like they're trying to screw them up. Anyway, so I think that'll be the first CBS game. It has to be. And nothing that has gone on these first 2 weeks as far as relevance to what will happen this coming Saturday, it was a nice snap drill. It was a nice extended practice. No disrespect. I'm supposed to tack that on. But against a team that with all the talent that the Florida Gators have 1 through 85, you aren't going to win. I wanted you to compete. Well, Bama's going to do a little bit more than compete, I believe. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Rocket Sanders and the Razorbacks, they are just running wild inside the 10.
I will admit, that game and Colorado-Texas A&M, it looked a little colder And well, that game was in Denver, right? Not on campus. Denver. Yeah. It looked a little brisker, a little colder in Denver than I know that it was. I literally had like an eighth grade, ninth grade moment where you don't have any responsibilities yet, and all that matters is the sports on your TV. Those games were both huge, and they sounded huge, and they looked huge. I never do this. David, I want to hear that again. Listen to the crowd, folks. This is in Fayetteville. I mean, this is it's not, you know, the stadium in Little Rock where they got to throw the bone. This is in Fayetteville, the big, nice, you know, where they did the construction about 10 years ago, if that was even that long. And Sam Pittman, he said something to me at media days, and I heard him after the game talking to his players. I said, you know, what's your goal for the season? He says, I want Sunday morning everybody in the state to wake up being a little bit better mood when they go to church. He says, I want everybody when they're going it throughout their day on Sunday and end of the week, he says, I want the fans in Arkansas to feel a little bit better. Listen to this clip again.
Rocket Sanders and the Razorbacks, they are just running wild inside the 10.
And that was at the end of the third quarter and made it 33-7 at that point. There was nothing flukish about this. This wasn't and folks, by the way, you know, I always say I would rather light a candle than curse the darkness. Now, there are times when you just cannot avoid starting with a loss. I always want to give some credit. So I started today. Honestly, it was a coin flip. I was like, do I start with Florida State or UF? And I was like, you know what? Gators. They may have two answers at quarterback. I don't know yet. Yes, you do. Dan Mullen doesn't know. They may have two answers, though, and they got a shot at the belt on Saturday. What the Mexico men's national soccer team wants but can't have, Florida gets on Saturday. They want Bama. I don't know that they want Bama, but in that it's not necessarily a division game, and you're going to have to probably beat Georgia anyway. Go ahead and take on Bama. Let's find out. I was like, all right, let's start with that. I don't want to start with the negatives. Sam Pittman, after the game, he made the same comment to his team. He's like, do you know what you just did for everybody in this state? And he said, church, he said, or Waffle House, or what? He says, whatever they go in the morning. You tell me what happened, folks. Arkansas ran the ball 47 times, threw it 19. This was not a fluke like Florida State. That's what I was going to say. It's not a like a last second and two guys played bad defense and whatever else. This is not that. This is a slow bleed, a really talented, skilled defense that is not deep yet, got wore out. And I know I didn't conjugate, wore out. I'm going Southern pronunciation. And then by the time Rockets 33-7, and then Steve Sarkisian's like, okay, there's some freshmen and sophomores on defense now. Let's light them up. 40-21. Folks, it wasn't 40-37, first of all, and it wasn't really 40-21. Arkansas got after them. Good for Sam Pittman, and good for everybody else who was at either church or Waffle House, or both yesterday. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. And you know what? We're just guys talking football. We can say wore out, or they didn't want none, or
twiced.
Any of those things.
You
got
to put the T on the twiced.
Twiced. Yeah, there you go. I mean, with that, like I said, we're just dudes talking football. Something I thought about on the drive in today, speaking of Sam Pittman, what if I were to tell you that I truly believe, for three reasons, that Sam Pittman could be the SEC's version of Dabo Swinney? Because when the hire was made, it was not this huge hire. It was not the hotshot young offensive coordinator. It was not the retread who's had some success but stumbled on his face the first time, and now he's getting another shot. It was a guy that you thought, an offensive line coach. I mean, yeah, I get it. He's a great recruiter, but is he necessarily going to be able to galvanize an entire program? I think that's point number one. You raise the recruiting. If you're able to do that, then you can take the program forward. I think probably even before that, but I'll just, for the sake of argument here, make it number two. you positively affect and really genuinely change the culture, which it seems like not only with the fan base, or excuse me, not only with the team itself has he done that, he's also, as you heard right there with the fan base in the background, of course it was Texas, that carries a little extra energy, yeah. But still, you've got the fan base now looking at you again and saying, this is viable, this is fun, I can actually put my Arkansas gear on again and feel good about it. And number three, it's not necessarily for the fact that they're not going to have opportunities. I just don't know if necessarily you're going to see them wanting to jump for said opportunities just yet. Barry Odom, I think he's going to want to prove it a little bit more. And then Kendall Briles, of course, I think the toxicity has still not quite worn off with his last name and Baylor and everything else that has come with that. But still, I think he's going to be able to keep them around for some time, kind of like what we've seen at Clemson with Tony Elliott and Brent Venables as well. I think if nothing else, Arkansas can make themselves into a viable program. Are they an SEC West contender year in and year out? No, but they can pop every now and then. And with that tradition they have there and the fan base behind them, there's no reason to believe that Arkansas could be somebody that could stick around for a little bit under Stan Pittman.
Yeah, and even started the game, remember, without, was it Poole or Morgan?
Bumper Poole.
Okay, because Morgan was out in the first half previously, and so he was back. But, yeah, without one of their better defenders as well, and still wind up, just like I said, getting a very convincing win over a good Texas roster.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 54 sticks. We deal it out 2 hours a day. I appreciate everybody making that blessing possible. Last week, I got not pushback or blowback or anything else. Just some folks pointed out that, you know, why be so negative? Why not be more over the top about Florida State and their season opening performance? Because I went back and I checked my notes on Monday, I guess it was, and I believe my exact words were, if I'm Florida State, how I feel after a game only counts so much. Because that was, oh, what a good feel, or they got to be feeling good. Or I was like, you're Florida, this is not Syracuse. You're not Wake Forest. All right, feel good after a game. In Winston-Salem, it's an awesome village to kind of hang out in for a couple hours when you feel good about yourself on a Saturday. If you're Florida State, it ain't about how you feel after a game. And I got accused of just not feeling good enough following their season opening loss to Notre Dame. I think that what happened this past Saturday, it shows why it's proper to dismiss feeling good following a loss. The Noles and Notre Dame opened versus each other last Sunday night. Both have played their first two games at essentially the same level of proficiency versus essentially the same level of competition. Irish are 2-0, Florida State winless. And absolutely could drop to 0-3 with another stink bomb this weekend when the Noles go on the road for the first time to Winston-Salem. So there's nothing easy right now for Florida State. And it doesn't get easy. They don't get a bye until after, like, I think it's 3 or 4 more games to play North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Then you get to exhale. So you got to figure it out right now. I don't know that our next guest is in a mood to brag, so I will brag for him. He is co-creator and also host of the Knollcast, which is about one of the most successful and widely followed podcast that you're going to find about sports, about college football, a drill down for one program. Again, from the Knollcast, it is our good friend Ingram Smith. Ingram, how are you today?
Hey, Chuck. I appreciate you having me. Yeah. Interesting conversation. I certainly agree with you. Florida State's not the type of program that you need to be feeling good after a loss. If you wanted to tell me that you felt good from a broader perspective, that you pushed all your chips in and had a lot of these recruits come on campus and you were able to show a competitive game and a great atmosphere and stuff like that, I can certainly listen to that conversation. But no, regardless of where the program's been over the past 5 years, Florida State is not the place to be to try to find moral victories or anything else like that. And certainly not the place to be to lose to FCS teams. So, you got to agree with you on both counts there.
All right. So if we're looking at the schedule so far, again, Jacksonville State, we all watched the opener. It was the national TV stage. Not many people watched, at least the beginning, I would say, of Jacksonville State and FSU. How did it get down to Jacksonville State having an opportunity to make that play? I'm asking, with Florida State's ability to blast open holes on the line of scrimmage, why wasn't this game out of reach yet?
Yeah, it was one of those games, Chuck, that honestly, after the second possession, third possession, certainly you realize, you're like, yeah, this is not going to be easy. Now, last year they had kind of a similar game against Jacksonville State, and they kind of stumbled into Jordan Travis in the process of it. And I think, my opinion is that coaching staff got very enamored with what McKenzie Milton can ultimately be, and McKenzie Milton's a great piece. But McKenzie Milton plays to the weaknesses of your roster. By that, I mean you rely on a wide receiver core that that David Hale, the writer for ESPN, who covers the ACC exclusively, in my opinion, accurately labeled Florida State's wide receivers as 14th best in the conference, of which has 14 teams, and an offensive line, which has made some nice strides in the run game, but is still not there when it comes to protecting the passer. So, Milton may be the more enticing of the two options and certainly has the higher upside. But it is, the lower downside as well. There's a higher ceiling and a lower floor when you have to rely more upon, the areas that are kind of the more glaring weaknesses of your roster.
If we look at Jacksonville State, when they tried to run the ball, it looked like, all right, Florida State, Power 5, ACC, FSU, playing an FCS school. And for the most part, until the final drive, certainly the final pass, the defense handled Zarek Cooper. Talk about the final play, what the defense was, what the execution was. There were two kids, regardless of anything that had happened before, that still had a chance to make a play and didn't. Tell me what you saw.
Yeah, so the final play is hard to make sense of. You end up going in basically a pure band concepts with a single high safety, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense considering the circumstance. I mean, with 6 seconds left, Chuck, I'd be interested in your opinion. Really, you can pick up, in my opinion, 20 yards max and have a guy get down, call a timeout. Which still leaves you with, a 58-yard field goal, if I'm mass right? So the idea that you were concerned about anything other than a guy getting in the end zone is kind of preposterous to me. But that is how they lined up. The vast majority of the questions that I have surrounding this game in general is about the use of and deployment of personnel. And your single high safety is a safety that's kind of masquerading as a linebacker. None of the choices that Florida State made throughout the course of the game made a lot of sense, and it was kind of the final play is kind of emblematic of it, both in scheme and personnel. Nonetheless, I mean, it was like those guys were almost confused that, if it was almost like a basketball game where if you score and there's still zeros on the clock, or if you don't get in the end zone and there's still zeros on the clock, that it doesn't score or it doesn't count as a score. It was a kind of a, bad moment for everybody, but the inability to get that guy down on the ground was kind of the highlight of a night that brought out an awful a lot of questions, both short and long term, for Florida State football.
Yeah, and I realize that, you know, I always say that the unintentional is the most revealing. I realize that you and I are talking individual plays against Jack State. And that's kind of that's kind of the revealing thing here. It's Florida FSU is not about anything that happens against Jacksonville State. It's about a bigger picture. Let's talk about two games into it is two games into season two with Mike Norvell. Let's talk immediately post game, the past 24 hours, et cetera. Where is the fan base? I mean, I understand they're hot, but where are they? What have been some of the responses, the reactions that maybe you've encountered?
I think the fan base feels pretty blindsided, to be honest with you, Chuck. I mean, the fan base, I have to say, was probably as realistic and level-headed as I could remember. I mean, there's a lot of people who said, look, you know, this team has a very good chance of going 5-7, 6-6 would be a real good year. I mean, they still have significant holes on their roster. They brought a lot of guys in on the transfer portal. It looks like they hit almost across the board on the defensive side of the ball. And I have questions about almost everybody they brought in on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, it was a fan base that I think was willing to treat last year as a year zero, not make a whole lot of thoughts or extrapolations about what you saw last year, and was very much invested in trying to get to 500. You know, I think I told this, or I said this last time I talked to you, it's a strange thing for college football fans, as emotionally invested as we are, to sit here in a year and realize that, you know, the results that on these 12 or 13 Saturdays that we get are really not that important. The important thing is holding this class together, this recruiting class that has a very legitimate chance of being a top five recruiting class. And losses against Jack State are things that don't let you sign a top five recruiting class. So I think that's the biggest thing. The fan base was ready for, you know, historically what would be a disappointing season by Florida State's standards, but understanding that there's an awful lot of work to do, but the main thing is that this class had to be held together. 0-2, very likely, you know, potentially. Florida State had to stack their wins here in the front part of the schedule, Chuck. When you look at it, the back half is going to be hard to find a whole lot of victories there. So the fact that you've, you know, lost against Notre Dame comes as very little surprise to anybody, but staring at 0-2, potentially 0-3 or 0-4 even is a real tough road for any coach to work on, whether it be 0-2 or not.
Yeah, and you know, I actually started with saying that it absolutely could be 0-3 after a visit to Winston-Salem on Saturday, and I want to throw in the asterisk that, well, they've only played Old Dominion and Norfolk State, but all right, Jack State, at least they won, and that's always my response when someone, you know, Auburn. I was talking to an Auburn fan. We look good. I was like, well, Akron and Alabama State. What would Bama, what would Clemson, what would have an elite program have done against that opponent? And, well, they would have beaten Jacksonville State or Old Dominion Norfolk State. So there is a big threat level with the Wake Forest Demon Deacons against FSU.
Very, very big. I mean, it's a lazy extrapolation, but Georgia handled UAB pretty easily. UAB beat Jack State 35-0 the week before. So, you know, I mean, you are you have to be pretty realistic as to where you are right now and realize that, you know, you like your chances of beating UMass. But other than that, there's not a win. Even the UMass game after you just lost to Jacksonville State, there's no win guaranteed on this schedule. And you're going to have to fight and claw and do everything possible to try to get to five wins, maybe six wins in the most optimistic of optimistic scenarios.
All right, give me just a guy on offense and a guy on defense so far that at least after two games, both losses. But all right, well, maybe we got a ball player there.
Yeah, well, Jayshon Corbin has emerged, the Texas A&M transfer last year. Looked good at times, but also looked like he was still trying to get some explosiveness back from a pretty nasty leg injury. Corbin has been maybe your best offensive player so far. Really impressive. Also kind of the conundrum that you went away from him for a quarter and a half during this game, but that's another discussion for another time. A former walk-on, Trayshawn Ward, another running back, looks really good. Looks like they've got a real decent player there and certainly justify moving him from walk-on to scholarship. Defense, I mean, look, you know, sometimes you get hits in the transfer portal and sometimes you knock it out of the park. And it looks like the kid, the Johnson kid they got out of Georgia, oh, yeah, is as good as any transfer that you could get. Pierre Thomas from South Carolina has also been a very nice plus for them. I realize you asked for one, but I'll give you three. DJ Lundy, Chuck, is a linebacker that weighs about 258 pounds. And he's not going to be on anybody's All-American list, but he plays the game at a higher level than I necessarily thought a linebacker could play, you know, weighing 255 pounds in 2021. That's kind of more the dimensions that you'd expect in the Big Ten in 1998 or something like that. But he's transferred better than I thought he would.
Is 0-2, I'm not trying to be funny here, I'm after business, drill down for us. Is 0-2 and a loss to Jacksonville State good for downloads and listens of the Nolecast, or do people just want to burn the whole, burn the tape, I don't want to know anything that happened?
Yeah, it may be good for a short-term pop, but it ain't good for long-term. It's not good for long-term listenership. Certainly with the program, with this program, it's had as many, you know, I was going to say highs and lows, predominantly lows, over the last 4 or 5 years to start a season like that, and particularly to be, you're right, there's no moral victories, but to be, you know, relatively optimistic about where you're headed Sunday night a week ago, to turn around and have a little bit of whiplash. We may do some decent numbers here and there, but it's going to be tough. You know, I don't blame anybody that's heavily emotionally invested in this program for, you know, taking a step or two back for a little bit.
Yeah, well, Ingram, always appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much on this Monday.
Enjoyed it, Chuck. Thank you.
All right, Ingram Smith again from the Nolecast. We will break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on this Monday. And Stetson Bennett is now in a category that I think every fan of any program has. And Dan, you grew up in an LSU house. You've got it. David, I know you've got it. Ohio State. A backup, almost exclusively a backup, might have gotten a start. In fact, in a specific situation like I'm about to talk about, probably did. Stetson Bennett now qualifies as the backup for your team who had that day. And if you didn't see Georgia over the weekend, they just opened a can on UAB. And what I don't want to say is, oh, well, UAB, they're not that good. No, UAB is not as good as Georgia. UAB is good. UAB's plenty good. Well-coached. They aren't as talented as Georgia. They're not as deep. This isn't very far into the season, so you wouldn't have depth wouldn't have mattered for that particular reason. But Stetson Bennett on Saturday against UAB in Athens, 10 of 12, 288 yards. Wow, that's impressive, and it is. Five touchdowns. He also carried the ball one time for 20 yards. He had 308 yards of offense. 12 pass attempts, one rush. He is the backup. There was a kid, Trey, and he was a kid. He was a true freshman, Trey Smith. You may have heard of Cadillac Williams and Ronnie Brown. They were both injured for the Iron Bowl about 20 years ago. In fact, it was a 2002 game. It was in Tuscaloosa. Trey Smith, true freshman. He comes in off the bench, 120-whatever yards. Auburn wins. That was it. That was his day. LSU's had those, I'm sure. 15 of them, probably. I mean, through the years, everybody. Alabama's had them. South Carolina, Clemson, Florida, UCF. Everybody has had that. And Stetson Bennett. And I don't know if Kirby could just go back in time 2 days, he would make the same decision because he would still be Kirby Smart at kickoff. I don't know if he would make the same decision now. But if he could go back 2 days and do it over again, well, we would always do the same thing again. We would. And if Kirby could go back 2 days, he would start Stetson Bennett again. And what I'm also saying is, and not start Carson Beck. Carson Beck is a five-star recruit. He was a five-star recruit who was a true freshman for the fall of 2020. And I may have mentioned this on Friday. I don't know if I did or not, but I was told it, that if you go back to last December, I can't remember if I brought this up, that inside the building, there was already the discussion that we don't know if he's going to fit into the plans. Like, DeJuan Mathis was a big recruit. He's a four-star kid that was committed to Ohio State. I don't know how much of a ball player DeJuan Mathis is, it turns out to be. I don't know. I mean, he's not in a great spot maybe, but he's still developing. But he was a four-star and whatever. And so they got it wrong with him. And they're like, we don't know if DeJuan's a ball player. He's not going to fit in. DeJuan took off. And good for him. He wants to get his chance. There was thought that maybe Carson Beck, maybe it'll be Brock Vandegrift, or maybe it'll be Gunnar Stockton, or maybe it'll be the next five-star that we get, but maybe it won't be Carson Beck. Well, why not? We might have missed on it. And that can mean one out of 50 things. It could mean that the kid was over-recruited. That's a phrase. You know, like Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, Jake Locker. They were overdrafted. You can be over-recruited. There's a chance Carson Beck was over-recruited. That essentially, maybe we didn't factor in competition. Maybe we got too enamored. Do you know who the Philadelphia Eagles are starting at left tackle? This giant human they found in Australia. That, by my way of understanding, he didn't really understand the rules of football and had never played in a game the day that he was drafted by the Eagles. He's about as big as a Coke machine and can move. Okay, so that's what, you know, we get enamored with the physical sometimes, don't we? And if you look at a high school recruit sometimes, well, maybe we just got enamored with the physical. I mentioned a kid, Jeff Luck, L-U-C. Go Google image your computer for Jeff Luck, FSU. Oh, looks like he's about a 34-year-old Mr. Olympia. Like, if you panned out from it, that Jeff Luck, you know, he would be standing in the middle of the stage. Arnold would be standing just to one side as the second-place finisher. Jeff Luck couldn't really play as well as he looked. What happened? Well, some recruiters, in a combination of other things, you fall in love with the physique, the measurables, the time on the 40 or, you know, whatever. So Carson Beck, it could be maybe college overwhelms a kid, whether it's socially, whether it's academically. But the word that I was given was if you go back to December, maybe we missed on Carson Beck and it could, maybe he's homesick. Maybe mom is sick and I miss her and I just need to transfer to be. There are 15 different reasons. Some of them were thought to be true about Carson Beck. I was told last week they're not really thought that way anymore. That Carson Beck is absolutely viewed as a very real chance. Well, starting Stetson Bennett, here's what I knew about Stetson Bennett. You weren't going to lose. If you started Stetson Bennett, it was not possible for him to have that game against UAB, that game where you lose. Drop Saturday's four quarters into a fishbowl. Who gave you the better chance? Stetson Bennett, absolutely. And that is how Kirby was coaching. Now, what decision gives you a better chance to beat Kentucky in 2022? Okay, maybe starting Carson Beck Saturday against UAB and letting him go the whole way. Maybe that would have given you a better chance against Kentucky and Auburn and Tennessee and UF and everybody else on your schedule in 2022. What it could have done, and I promise you, this was the ping pong match flying around in Kirby's gray matter. Promise you that while giving Carson Beck, we're going to snap the ball against UAB 71 times, giving him 70, even the kneel down at the end. We're up 56-7. Carson, go kneel down twice. Why? Experience. All of that would have helped you. It also could have been a 4-turnover game. And all of a sudden, you're down like 27-7 at half because your QB keeps giving it to the other team. That is why Kirby started Stetson Bennett.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.